drop, I'll just drop a nugget about the podcast, and then we'll just dive in and make coffee. And whoever missed it, we'll just have to watch the replay, right?
That's right.
Okay. So the podcast is probably, sounds like everyone already knows, is called We're Talking Shift. And about 6 weeks ago, we also went to YouTube. So now you can hear it still on the apps, but you can also watch it and see the interaction between the guest and I on YouTube. This week was John Gray, who is like the relationship guru. He's known across the globe for the differences. You know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. He's the author that did that very famous book. And it is, let me tell you, excellent. So that was a really fun interview. He's on this week, and I've got some great upcoming guests, but we talk all about things from emotional fitness to I got some spiritual fitness stuff coming up with Neil Donald Walsh, who is the author of all of the Conversations with God books. He's amazing and brilliant. And if that's something that you're open to, it's really, really good. That'll be coming up soon. And so we talk about spiritual fitness, emotional fitness, your mental diet, and of course your physical diet. What are you eating? So it's all about helping everyone find ways to up-level their life in all those areas. And I have really, really great experts and doctors on that know what they're talking about. So that's We're Talking Shift. And of course, I appreciate it when everybody leaves a rating and subscribes and leaves some comments and tell me what you want to hear. All right. Who's ready to make coffee?
Nick Mills is.
Okay. All right. So first of all, let me just say coffee beans are one of the most heavily sprayed crops on the planet. So coffee beans are full of pesticides and all the other junk they have to spray them with. So if your budget allows, I encourage you to buy an organic coffee so that at least you can eliminate some of that nastiness in your coffee. So getting the best quality coffee you can to start with is really important. Do your best. Let's just go here. I've got my blender. I have got my hot coffee. And here's a little trick that I do. When I first get up, I put hot water in the blender and I put hot water in my cup so that it warms up while I'm waiting for the coffee to brew. That way, when I put my coffee in here, it doesn't cool it down. So I did that right before we jumped on. So you're gonna pour your coffee into your blender or whatever you have. Okay. This is my version of what is trendily and commonly known as a bulletproof coffee. Bulletproof coffee has MCT oil in it. That's what this is, which is really good for you. This is a fat burner and it's fat fuel. It's healthy fat. It's really good for you. And it's less expensive than the oil that I use, which is Udo's oil. And I'll tell you about that in a minute. So either one of these is awesome to put in your coffee. If you are new to putting oil in your coffee, you want to start out with a very small amount, like a teaspoon, and work your way up to a little bit more, because it can wreak havoc on the stomach if you dunk too much in. Okay. All right. So MCT oil is your medium chain triglycerides. That's derived from coconut oil. I use Udo's oil. So the first thing that goes into my coffee, I pour it in the blender, is about, we're up to maybe about a tablespoon, but start out with a teaspoon. This is your essential fatty acids. And they are called them essential because they're essential for optimal health and well-being. Your brain has to have them and your body has to have them for optimal health. That's your essential fatty acids. That's your omegas 3, 6, and 9. And Udo's oil has them from the highest quality sources, and they're in the perfect balance with each other. So this is what I put in my coffee. I don't have to measure anymore because I just know it's about that much. All right, that goes in. And this also is amazing. I put it in the smoothies and I use it for my salad dressing too. Super healthy for you. Also brain fuel, body fuel. All right, the next thing that goes in is, in a bulletproof, you would put some unsalted grass-fed butter, such as Kerrygold. Every store has it. I turn my butter, my unsalted grass-fed butter, into ghee. which is basically clarified butter. That means you cook the protein, the milk proteins out of it. So then you just have what's left is this wonderful, yummy smelling fat, but no milk proteins. And which is also great if you are lactose intolerant. So I also put a scoop of that in the coffee. So that goes in. Okay, I love some spice. So you can do cinnamon. It's that time of year. As I said earlier, I've been using pumpkin pie spice. You can also, it's really good with a little drop of almond extract in there. So pick your flavor. I'm gonna throw some pumpkin pie spice in. That goes in. Now, the last yummy thing that I like to put in is coconut milk. I don't use dairy. You could put cream in if you want to put half and half in. But I love coconut milk. And again, it's full of healthy fat. So I'm going to pour a little of that in. And then basically, the last thing that's going to go in, this is my fun little secret ingredient, is some sugar-free collagen fuel. It's vanilla flavor. And it gives it just a very slight sweetness, which is so delightful. It's sugar-free, but it has like stevia or monk fruit in it. So something that's natural. I put about a half a scoop in for a cup, pour that in. All right, I've got everything in the blender over here. Bear with me a minute. That's all it takes, like 10 seconds to blend it. And then, Josh, are you making this? It looks like a latte.
It looks beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It's so good. So you blend that up. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, it's so yummy. And Warren, you won't miss the pumpkin pie creamer stuff with these other things in there. You still get that flavor and you get a tiny bit of sweetness and there's no garbage in here. So now you have a great healthy coffee. Which is full coffee, especially if you can get a good quality, you guys, is full of antioxidants. There are tons of great health benefits from drinking a quality coffee. And antioxidants is one of them. It's one of the highest sources of antioxidants on the planet that you can get. So if you love your coffee, get a good quality, put some healthy fat in it like I just did, and you're going to have something that looks like this, just like a latte. It's wonderful, it's healthy, and that fuel from all that healthy fat is going to keep you satisfied. You won't even probably feel hungry, which is fine. You won't have to eat for a while, but you've got still a good nutritious beverage that's gonna fuel you for hours.
Does Eric drink like 6 or 8 cups of this? Is this true?
No. We usually only we'll have some black coffee first, and then we'll have like one of these.
Okay.
Yeah, like just one. You really don't need any more than that. You could have two if you want, but you're so satisfied with one, you're so satiated, you probably won't want another one, especially if you're new to drinking a fat coffee. This kind of fat coffee. Then it can get, your system has to acclimate a little bit to that extra fat, especially if you're using the MCT oil.
Something recorded later, right? I can go back and make this recipe.
I was just thinking, Mrs. B, if you want to let us know, I wrote down the ingredients, but I'll tell you first off, I tried to find that Udo's in the store. It's not there. I think it's an online type purchase. So I'll have to get with you and find out if you have any affiliate links or anything like that for any of these products. Okay. And I'll get that out here to you guys because I want to make it too.
Yeah.
Do you have a Sprouts in Georgia? A Sprouts?
Yes. Yes.
Well, then.
Okay.
Anything Lori says that you need, Sprouts has it.
There you go. Yeah.
You should be, Udo's oil has to be refrigerated, and you can never cook with this. This is an oil that you do not heat. You'll destroy it and make it toxic. So this has to be kept in the fridge. So when you go to a Whole Foods or a Sprouts, you'll find it in a refrigerator section with other supplements, like probiotics that need to be refrigerated. That's where you find this, and then you get it in your fridge right away. Because light and air and high heat damage quality oils. So you gotta.
And for the guys, let me just give you a tip. If you like sunflower seeds, you know that first bite you get out of sunflower seeds, that burst of like flavor and everything? That's what this tastes like. Sunflower seeds, it's amazing. So if you like sunflower seeds, it's just one component, but it's really the dominant flavor.
Wow.
It's got a mild nutty flavor. It's really good.
Before we know it, Josh is going to be hosting these healthy mind frame editions on Ad Free Show.
Laura, before I forget, I'm using that Aveda that you told me to use. It's been wonderful.
Oh, you like it?
I do. I got their purple kind, the purple.
Okay.
It's I'm not worried about losing my hair, but I want as luxurious as hair as Eric, but.
Well, good. I just love the smell of that stuff.
It smells delightful. I like it.
Life Very goals.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you took me up on that.
All right. I want to take it over to our friend Rocco. He made sure to let me know he had a question for you this morning.
Okay.
Hello, Mrs. B.
Hi, Rocco.
How are you?
I'm doing great. It's starting to kick in, so I'm going to be on fire here in another minute or two.
So I had a simple question, actually, which maybe a little bit more in depth too. What inspired you? What got you on this journey of fitness and health and wanting to learn so much and have all this knowledge?
That's a good question. So. As a youth, I was always a very physically active person, but I will tell you that Eric is actually responsible for introducing me to a gym. I had never gone into a gym in my life, other than to go in, you know, when you're in school or to do gymnastics or something, but like a workout gym. I hadn't been exposed to that. And our kids were young. They were maybe like, you know, 3 and 4 or something like that. And we lived in this small town in Minnesota, and we were quite broke. And the story is that Eric comes home one day and he goes, "I signed us up for the local gym." And I remember going, "Oh, great, just what we need. I don't want to go to a gym. I have no interest in going to a gym. And we really can't fit a gym membership into our budget." So I was not happy. However, since the commitment had been made, I begrudgingly said, "All right, I'll go try it." And they had, of course, a couple of trainers. Now this, mind you, is in like 1987-ish or 8. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was before it got really trendy for just the average person to go in, start lifting weights and working with trainers. That was more of a thing that people in the fitness industry that were competitive were doing. Anyway, so I went and I started working with a trainer there a little bit, and I instantly fell in love with it. So my initial reaction to Eric, which was that was a dumb idea, ended up being something that it affected the course of my entire life. Because I fell in love with it. And so I started getting into weight training for fitness back then. And I always worked with a trainer, when we lived in Atlanta. I don't anymore because I'm in Cody, Wyoming, but I still work with weights. So that was something that just got really into my system. I also was really into teaching myself about health and food, because once we became parents, I felt like, oh, I'm responsible for these two little beings. I have to feed them in the best thing way that I can possibly feed them, the best way on the planet. So I dove into learning And there was no, you know, there was no internet and computers back then. So I was just like reading everything I could get my hands on, learning about food. So that was the food component I started teaching myself. Because I wanted to be healthy and I want my kids to be healthy. It was really, really a passion for me. So all of it just came together just as a lifestyle for me. So it kind of was a natural transition for me to move into a career path of helping other people figure out how to get healthy, not only physically and with their diet, but mentally as well. Does that answer your question?
That's a great answer to a question. That is awesome. You know what? Your story sounds so similar, yours and Eric's, with the fitness end of things with my girlfriend Maria and I. And I said to you in the past that you guys were kind of goals for us. So this kind of reassures us that you guys are goals for us. Because I was always I was the gym fanatic. Mm-hmm. And because I did a whole weight loss thing where, you know, I just started eating healthier, this, that, and so on and so forth. And I started going to a gym. And Maria, on the other hand, she was always healthy. Just she always watched. She always did the right thing. She always kind of kept herself. She always exercised, kept herself in top shape, but never stepped into a gym. Mm-hmm. And then I started going to. I said, "Hey, why don't you start coming with me? There's more stuff for us to do together. This, that, and third." She's like, "Ah." And then she finally came, and now she's better than me at doing any kind of working out at the gym. And it just and she's always researching recipes and certain ways of doing things healthier and cooking with certain things that are healthier. Mm-hmm. And you just reaffirmed the similarities, but you also, you know, I felt like I was just going back through my life in a way.
Yeah. It's going into a gym for me, the reason I didn't want to go in was because it was so foreign to me. I was like, I don't know what to do with any of that equipment. And so I was intimidated. So I didn't want to go because I felt like I'd be, you know, roaming around, you know, China. Like I wouldn't know how to communicate with anyone or do anything, or I didn't know what I was doing. So I was like, no, that's not happening. But when I was kind of like forced to, and then I got to understand what I was doing and learn about it, and then realized how quickly. There's no faster way to get results if you're trying to make a change in your body than picking up a weight. There just is no faster way. If you pick up a weight and you combine that with even just a little bit of tweaking in your diet, you can make a change so quickly, people will amaze themselves. And it's addicting because it works.
Yeah, and they're a companion piece to each other because you can't do one without the other. Definitely not. Yeah. I mean, you could... But, you know, what's key to exercise is your diet. It's always key to your exercise. Yeah.
Diet is key. And I will say that diet is more key than people think. You want your insides to be as healthy as you appear. And so, you know, you can be a thin person and appear to be, you know, fit by the fact that you're not overweight, but you can still be quite sick and unhealthy if your diet isn't right. So, you know, you don't have to go into a gym or pick up a weight in order to have big muscles and look like you're in a fitness competition or a bodybuilder.
Eric.
But you do have to have a good diet so that you can be healthy inside and out. And the weights are a bonus. If you want to do some weights to just firm up, tone up. And for me, I think what's really important is you have to think about not just today, you have to think about where you're going. And that means you're aging. So you got to figure out how you want to show up in your older years, because what you're doing now is going to determine that. So if you don't want to like fall and bust a hip, and trust me, about 40% of people over the age of 65 fall and bust a hip. I mean, we joke about it, but it's true. And a ton of them, like over half, the majority of them will die in 1 year. Within a year after that, because they're not in good enough shape to recover. So I know it sounds like kind of out there, but personally, I think that aging and going through your life, the journey of life, is like going on a journey. If you are going, you know, around the world or across the country, you have to figure out where you're going and how you want to show up when you're there. And so in order to do that successfully, you got to start planning now. You have to plan the route and you have to plan, you know, what you need, and you have to do the things on the way there that are going to allow you to arrive in the shape that you want to arrive in. So one of the driving forces for maintaining fitness and health, and eating a relatively healthy diet is A, so that you can have energy now and you can feel good now, and so that you're not, you know, sick now, but it's also so that you don't show up at age 65, 75, 80 with freaking dementia and Alzheimer's and cancer and heart disease and, you know, no stability. And so you're falling easily. Those are the things that are happening. Those are the things that I guarantee you will happen if you don't manage your shit starting now.
Yeah. I 100% agree with you, but thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. I know a couple of these other guys want to ask some good questions as well, but okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Rocco. As you guys can see, I'm getting my hair styled this morning by the twins.
Nice
start to my Saturday for sure. Up next, well, first I had a comment come through on the internet from our friend Bharat. You remember Bharat with the long, flowing, beautiful hair in Australia?
Oh, yeah. I do. Hi, Bharat. We did have a nice chat about hair, didn't we?
We did. He said to remind you that yours is more beautiful than Eric's, and he will catch you on the next one, sending his love from Australia. James is up next. James, who's styling your hair this morning?
Me? Oh.
Yes, that's you. That's your name.
Sorry. There's two Jameses. I didn't even look at the participants. No one? A ball cap?
There you go. You got the Aveda though. You're on the right track.
Yeah.
So my question is like, so with mental health being rising in the last decade, like I experienced some PTSD and other things from traumatic experiences. And with personal training and all that, like, I hired one earlier this year and that's been beneficial. I missed an appointment the other day, so I had to work out by my, do some TRX stuff by myself. But, how are we going with this? What and you in this last decade that you've gradually gained knowledge of weightlifting and changing grammatically. First, what's your favorite workout? Like leg day, chest day, and then what's I'm still trying to think of word this. What is one thing that we can all take away from just learning about mental health, do you think?
Okay. All right. So my favorite things to work out are usually arms, biceps, triceps, shoulders, and abs. And that's because they're the easiest for me. So I have to make myself do legs because that's my weak spot. So that's the part that I like the least, but it's the part that makes me the happiest when I'm done because I did the thing that I really don't like to do that much. So that makes me the happiest, but I enjoy much better doing arms and abs. So that's for the workout part. Okay. So for mental health, so you're talking about the struggles, the rise in the struggles with mental health that, especially this year with people being cooped up and, you know, all the craziness that's happening in 2020. I think, you know, I mean, there's a lot to talk about there, but if I could just say maybe two things. Number one is, as far as this particular year goes, it's very easy to think that you know, you're not going to recover, that all is lost, that there's major changes coming, never, and things are never going to be the same again. And I will remind, I remind people that this too shall pass, just like everything else in history passes, and we'll get through this. So I think taking, just taking a breath and realizing that if you are still in a position that you have a roof over your head and you can still feed yourself and you're safe and you can take care of your family, even if it's challenging, then you're fine. You may not be fine in the way you'd like to be fine, may not be a luxurious fine. It may be, you know, your freedom's a little impinged upon right now, but it won't stay like that forever. And it's easy to lose sight of the things that you still have and have the opportunity to do, even when, you know, the shit hits the fan. So that's one, is just stay, don't lose hope. And there's always something you can do, even cooped up in your house. I mean, if you've got a phone, you have access to everything you possibly could want to learn about or study or, you know, figure out at your fingertips. As far as mental health on the larger scale, I think that it's very easy for people to want to find ways to get themselves in a more comfortable mental state that are unnatural because they don't want to feel uncomfortable mentally for a bit. So my advice is, or I guess a takeaway would be, there's nothing wrong with being a little bit emotionally uncomfortable for a while. Sometimes you have to just figure out that it's okay, and you need to get comfortable being uncomfortable. When you're uncomfortable emotionally or mentally, that is a sign that there's something telling you that you need to work on something. Our usually what happens is when we feel emotionally or mentally uncomfortable, whether it's depressed or angry or any kind of a negative feeling, that's an uncomfortable feeling. We want to get out of it, right? Because it's some form of pain, and we want to run from pain and find pleasure. So we look for a way to get out of that state. And, you know, you do yourself a disservice when you always try to numb that feeling and get to a place that feels better without investigating why you're feeling like that in the first place. And maybe there's something that you need to change in the way that the meaning you're applying to things, you know, how you're responding to things, your belief system. And so taking that opportunity when discomfort arises to investigate your beliefs and why you're reacting the way you are, and can you just change the way you're reacting and responding and thinking about things, you can actually change your state without having to go to an outside source or expecting a circumstance outside of you to change so that you can feel better. Or you don't have to go and, you know, drown yourself in, you know, in a 12 pack or take some antidepressants. Those are not always the best answer. There's a time and a place for everything.
Mm-hmm. I've come to realize that I lost my dad about 9 years ago to suicide, and I found him, and so that's why, my mom's like 500 miles away, and like dad gone, so like with ad free shows, it's been actually kind of nice interacting with people and all these other, like, we all have backgrounds. So when I tweeted the other day to ad free shows, can we get a shirt that says ad free family or ad free community, preferably the first one, because we all have this desire for wrestling, love for wrestling, and wrestling's been that constant for me for the last 12 years. And so we all appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule and this morning, and all these other people that have taken their time to ask answer all of our questions. And
well,
thank you.
You're welcome, James. It's my pleasure. I'm happy to do it. And I think it's really important what you said about having a community, because we all need connection. Is one of the six human needs in human needs psychology. There's six of them that we all have, and connection is one, and it's very, very important. And you know, you can get that in different ways, but if you don't have close family around you, finding a source like this where you have things in common with a group and you've got your own little family kind of that you formed, I think is really valuable. And you're right, everybody has a story, and it's nice to be able to connect with people that you feel like you have some common ground with.
Yeah, sorry, I was replying to the chat. It's all good, everybody. It's all good.
Thank you so much, James. Thank you. Glad to have you here today. And glad to see you as well, Josh Rosenbaum, who it's really early where you are, and yet you seem like really fired up. You must have had the fat coffee before the rest of us did.
No, I get up at about 5 a.m. Mrs. B turned me on to the 5 a.m. club. So being a teacher, waking up early is no problem.
There you go.
So I enjoy my mornings. I have to relate this question to wrestling just to get these knuckleheads to pay attention. I've heard in rumor and innuendo said that the wrestler Viscera was named after visceral fat. And I went on my handy dandy smart scale that I went on, and it said my visceral fat is high. Can you tell me what that means? It'll save you a text message tonight.
Okay. So visceral fat is the fat that is internal fat that's around your organs. So it's not the fat that's right below your skin, like the adipose tissue. It's a dangerous fat. That's the fat that's very internal and around all of your organs. And so, that is something that you want to pay attention to, and you want to continue to tweak your diet and exercise routine so that you can start getting rid of some of the visceral fat, which you will do as you continue on your healthy life, eating lifestyle and your workouts. But that is, it's high, that means you've still got internal fat around those organs that you are going to be working on wanting to get rid of.
Okay. Thank you very much. How can I do that? Just by diet? Or is it just going to be progressive over time if I continue the path I'm on?
Yeah. So if you don't see it starting to improve, you know, then we probably want to take a look at if there's anything else we can do to tweak your diet some more. And I'd say, you know, making sure that you are still getting some moderate but consistent exercise in, whatever it is, whether it's, you know, walking, working out, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be extreme, but it has to be moderate and it has to be consistent. That's the biggest thing. Consistency is key. So keep an eye on it, you know, note where it's at right now so that you have something to measure.
And then
we'll look at it again in a few weeks and see if there's some change.
Yep. And Rocco, I can see all that weightlifting really helped on your hat, pal. That hasn't been in style since about 1991. You see the cool dudes in this room, they got their hat kind of, the bill kind of flat. That went out a little while ago. So take it easy on that hat, pal.
This is actually the workout hat, actually. So.
Oh, you look fine. The male model.
Male model.
You guys are clowns. WMD himself. This man is mysterious. WMD, where are you?
I am in my basement. Chilling with my party late.
Nice. I dig it at 10 a.m. on a Saturday.
What's your actual name, by the way? Sorry.
My name's Adam, by the way. So.
Oh, well, now we know. Adam. All right. What's your question for Mrs. B?
Breaking news.
Oh, okay. So since you are a life coach, I figured you could answer this. You know, 2020 has been hard on everybody, so I'm not going to try to cry over spilt milk. You know, it is what it is. But what is your, like, I guess, process of trying to get rid of stinky thinking just throughout the day? Because I'm not going to, you know, like, I'm not going to go through boring details, but, you know, I had a few things happen, you know, lost some opportunities and, you know, started gaining back old habits that I should have kept, you know, dead. But I guess what is a good, like, mental process on trying to weed out that stinking thinking? Because I like to try to think I'm a pretty positive guy once in a while. Or not once in a while, all the time, but sometimes I let those anxieties creep in like, you know, take over. And then it takes a little bit for me to, you know, get rid of that. Mm-hmm. And I used to be, you know, pretty good at, you know, shredding it off. But now as I grow older, starting to, you know, mm-hmm. pile.
Okay. So first of all, if you're able to get a copy of the book, the five principles in my book are about helping you with, as you call it, your stinking thinking, because it's all about managing your mental diet. When I say your mental diet, that's what I'm referring to, is the thoughts that you dwell on, the state of mind that you're in, and how to manage that so that you don't fall into patterns of stinking thinking. But I think that one of the things we can recognize is that it's okay when you have some, you know, a little bit of negative thoughts. Things are going to come up because there's a lot to deal with. And so you can't, like, just pretend that you're happy and okay with everything if you're really not. So positive thinking is really good, but you can't just fake it, because the negative and the fear, what's happening is that thinking is coming from fears. You have a fear that somehow this is going to have a real negative impact on your life, and you're thinking about stories, you're creating situations in your head moving forward that are probably frightening and in some place you don't want to go. So the problem with thinking about those things is not that the thoughts come up, because the fears are real. The problem is when we dwell on them and let them overtake us. So when you dwell on thinking, that means you're living there in your head. That's where the problem is. So allowing something to come up, like, you know, I've lost opportunities, which maybe equates to I've lost potential revenue, which means I might not be able to, you know, manage my finances or pay my mortgage or my rent moving forward. So that's a likely scenario for a lot of people right now. Lost revenue means, you know, shit's going to hit the fan and I'm going to be in serious financial trouble. And then what happens is you start spinning and going, oh, I'm going to lose this and I'm going to lose that. And it just turns into this big nightmare. So it's not about denying the realities of the situation, but it is about recognizing that there is a situation, but being able to have some faith that you are strong enough and have the resources and the stamina and the drive to figure it out as you go, and just having faith that you can do that, and just sort of relaxing into right now, what's happening. Are you unsafe? Are you hungry? Are you losing? Is somebody, you know, kicking you out of your house? If none of those things are happening, I think it's a good reminder to go, what's the state I'm in right now? Is everything okay right now? And breathe and just, you know, look at what you have, and then look at all of the resources that you have within you to sort of lay out a plan moving forward, because it's always better to start to maybe strategize a little bit and feel like you have some control rather than letting your head start spinning into scenarios of what might happen down the road. Mm-hmm. Because what happens is you think, oh, this is going to happen. This is really bad. And then it's a domino effect. And then this is going to happen. And then this is going to happen. And a lot of times, none of those things ever happen. And yet you have lost hours and days and weeks fretting and worrying and stressed for no reason. So that would be some of my advice right now, is to just have faith in yourself and your own abilities. If you've made it this far in life, chances are you're going to get through this and you're going to be able to get on your feet, but solution-based and not in fear, a state of fear. And when you do things like going back to some bad habits to get yourself to change your state, realize that you're trading what you need tomorrow and the next day for what you want right now, which is to get out of that state of discomfort. And it's not helping you, it's gonna sabotage you.
Absolutely.
Does that help?
Yeah, that's actually perfect. So yeah, I might consider doing that. I'm gonna try.
Give it a try. If you're able to get a copy of the book and read it, those principles will help you and go into more detail about some of the things I just talked about.
Sweet. Thank you, Mrs. B.
You're welcome.
Sweet. How about Matt Cooper?
What's up, everyone?
Hi.
Good to see everybody. I'm so excited to be on this because I missed the last one, and I almost missed this one today too. So I was like, oh man, I'm so excited to be on here. First off, my girlfriend heard you talking too in the background. We both love coffee. We buy coffee all the time. And she goes, I don't know who this lady is on here right now, but I love her already. And then she was just texting me at the gym. She goes, does she have a Twitter? And so I'll tell her to follow you and stuff like that.
Thank you.
So I have a question to you about fitness and stuff like that too, because I'm really into fitness. I work out all the time. And then back in April, I hurt myself. I have a bad lower back. I have a bad knee too from like all these years of working out, and I played football and stuff like that. So much so that for a couple of days I had to actually use a walker. And I was using a walker and I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm 39 years old. I'm on a walker right now. And I was like, all right, I got to change a few things around. I got to be careful what I'm doing at the gym. I got to be careful maybe not putting as much weight as I used to, like trying to think I'm like 25 years old anymore. So I was like, I need to do like a little bit more stretching. So my girlfriend, she's like, well, I'm going to get you into yoga. She goes to yoga every day. She does it once a week after she does all her exercises during the week. So I started doing that a little bit. And I've already noticed that it's actually helped a lot with my lower back stretching and muscles. And I wanted to get your opinion. Is that something you ever – I've only done it like 3 times now. And I was very against it at first. I'm like, I'm not going in there. I'm going to be the only guy in there and stuff. And
yeah.
Now I already feel after 3 weeks of doing this. And the reason why I'm here today is that my yoga class canceled today because the heater broke in there. So I was able to come on this call. Yeah. I just want to get your opinion on that. And do you have any advice about other type of – I stretch every day to try to get a little bit better – or maybe something I should probably take, maybe some type of vitamin I should take on top of like a multivitamin I take every single day.
Okay, good. So yeah, yoga is awesome. I started doing yoga myself after years of training in the gym. And I was all about, you know, weights and weightlifting. And then after about 10 years of that, I was like, was actually after we left Atlanta and moved to Arizona. So in 2000, yeah. So 2000, I was like, you know, I feel like I need to do some more stretchy type stuff. I better try yoga. And I'll tell you what, at first I was like, oh, this is never gonna work, because it's like weightlifting is a very aggressive way to work out, right? I mean, you're literally moving weight around and it feels really good. And yoga is like non-aggressive. So it was very hard to sit still and do yoga poses and breathe and all that stuff. But I stuck with it. And let me tell you, within about 2 weeks, I became addicted. So, and I've been doing it ever since. So 20 years I've been doing yoga. And I think it's a perfect combination. If you can do a little bit of strength training with some weights, but you can also incorporate some yoga, because yoga is also a, not only is it just good because of the way you're exercising, the, you know, the stretching and the poses and such, but yoga is also something that really, if you have a good instructor that understands that yoga is just as much about what you take away into the rest of your life when you're not in yoga class, it helps you in other areas of your life that you don't really realize until you're in it. And then you realize you're stuck in traffic and you're in a hurry and it's crappy. And all of a sudden you start doing things that in your car that you're doing in yoga class, and you change your state. You'll hear me talk a lot about changing your state, because it's kind of it's a critical thing that we need to learn to do, is change our state, our mental state, without looking for other substances or distractions to do that for us. So yoga is one of those things that is very beneficial in helping you change your state in the rest of your daily life when you're feeling maybe a little bit stressed. So that's one thing. Number two, so yeah, yoga is great. Keep doing it. As long as you feel good and you're benefiting, do it. You can't lose. There's nothing you're going to risk by doing yoga. And supplements. I would say, I suggest that most people get the best quality multivitamin that they possibly can, because most of us, even those of us that eat really well all the time, you're probably still not going to get all of the nutritional benefits that you should be getting out of your food, because our food quality is so diminished these days. So taking a supplement is good. I mean, I get a ton of supplements and vitamins just in my plant-based protein powder that I have every day. And I would say if you are a weightlifter, are you probably taking a protein supplement?
Yeah, I drink a protein shake every day, yes.
Okay. So I would advise you to take a look and see if it's a whey protein or a plant-based protein. If you're feeling, you know, if you've got some issues and some injuries that you're healing, or if you've, you know, inflammation is something that is really, really important to pay attention to. And a lot of times you don't equate what's your injuries with inflammation. But if you are getting injuries, you're getting inflammation. And if you've been, you know, people that are eating a bad diet, you're causing inflammation. Whey protein, it has, whey creates MSG, and that is very inflammatory. So I would say maybe look at your protein and consider swapping it out for a plant-based protein supplement to make your shakes with, so that you aren't getting any of the inflammatory effects of MSG, and which is going to be in the whey.
I would have never thought of that. Thank you.
Yeah. And then of course, in a plant-based protein powder, you will have all kinds of extra vitamins and antioxidants and all that good stuff too. So then you're really helping supplement that aspect of your diet.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to answer my question and everybody else.
My pleasure. Good question.
Thank you, Matt. All right. It's Rajiv's turn with the final question of the hour. Rajiv, make it a good one. I know you will.
Hello, Mrs. B. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this morning.
Yeah.
So my question is relationship related, because you and Eric have quite the relationship. From what we hear on his podcast and whatnot. So my question is, both you and Eric lead pretty busy lives doing pretty different things. So when you two get together and you talk about these things that you are doing in your own lives, how do you keep yourself interested in the things that you may not be super interested in that he's doing? Is it more of a support system? Are you just very, very supportive of what he's doing, regardless of what he's doing? Or is there something that you've come to realize, like, okay, if I'm not interested, maybe I need to let him know, like, hey, I really support everything you're doing, but I'm not super interested in that.
That is something that has never happened, except if he talks too much for too long and repeats himself too much about how brilliant our dog is. I know she's brilliant and she's the best dog on the planet. And Eric is so madly in love with our dog. And she's, I am too. But Eric has the ability, because he's just, it's just his thing, to literally talk about Nikki constantly. So sometimes I be like, I'm like nodding and I'm like, yeah, yes, she is. And then he'll see me going, and then he'll go, I say that all the time, right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I know. It's like, I know, I agree, honey. I just can't, you know, I just can't conversate about it endlessly. But she's awesome. So anything else though, Rajiv, that Eric is doing? Here's the thing. I think that when you are in a relationship with someone, and you are really all in, which means it's really important to you to make sure that you are supporting them in every way and that you are their biggest fan. And you want them to grow and you want them to be excited about whatever they're doing in life. When you have that attitude, you are able to remain fascinated with your partner. So, I mean, we've been married over 36 years and we've been together for a couple years beyond that. And I kid you not, even all the time, I look at Eric and I'll look at what he's talking about, whether he's talking, whether we're in conversation with each other or if maybe I overhear him on the phone talking business or whatever. And I look at him and I look at it like this person is so fascinating to me. And I maintain that because I'm looking at what is of this person that I've watched, that I've been with for almost four decades. And I've seen this amazing evolution. So when you are able to witness the evolution of a person, your children, your partner, and you keep focused on what that person is really all about in their heart and all of the great things that they're doing and all of the challenges that they've overcome, you just want nothing but the best for them, it's not that hard to stay fascinated with the person in your life. And I think keeping that in mind is really, really helpful. When we are having conversations, other than the dog, I don't recall ever having a conversation with Eric that I was like, oh, I can't talk about this anymore. It just doesn't happen. We have really good conversations. We talk about ideas. We talk about, you know, our evolution. We talk about the things that we want to do next. We talk about how grateful we are for what we're doing now. So our conversations are usually based on ideas and what's good about things and plans. Does that help you?
Yeah, and I'm very, very supportive of her. I think I need to find like trigger words for her to show that I'm still interested, because there are times when I'm listening to her and I'm very supportive of her and I'm nodding along, but she's wondering if I'm even still interested in what she's saying. And I'm like, oh, 100%, I'm listening. So maybe I just need to find like little words here and there as she's going along to say like, yeah, absolutely, I fully support that and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, and that's, sometimes there are going to be some things like I wouldn't sit and talk ad nauseum to Eric about a yoga class because his eyes are probably going to cross. I mean, he, how much, you know, unless he's going to start doing yoga seriously all the time, he's not going to really care. So I'm not going to do that. But your wife is looking for a way to connect with you. And she just wants, this is just her way of connecting, is sharing whatever is up for her. So for you to just do what you're doing, to be able to listen, not look at your phone. And, you know, the other thing you can do is, besides acknowledging what she's saying, is you can ask a question. How do you feel about that? What do you want to do with that? You know, asking a quality question goes a long way.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Very helpful. Lots of good information bright and early this morning, Mrs. B. The book is called Common Sense Happiness. And I think, was there a foreword written in that by Hulk Hogan?
Yes, there is.
Okay, so you guys should all pick that up and read it anyway. But she's on Twitter at Lori B. Life Coach. She's also on Instagram if you want to find some recipes and photos of the dog, the wonderful dog. The podcast is called We're Talking Shift. She's also on YouTube now with that podcast. As always, we're at Ad Free Shows on the Twitter machine. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you, guys. I really had fun talking with you all.